Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Again, the sermon, we're in the series called Walking in Yeshua's Footprints, by the end of next Wednesday, to five of the feasts that the Jews celebrate today as traditions. Four of them were commanded in the Old Testament. The feast we're looking at tonight was not commanded. It was added in the intertestamental period, which I read from 1 Maccabees. Think of yourself in the Jewish calendar right now. It's winter. The fall harvest is complete, and the festivals are over. God's ordained festivals have been observed, and now there's a long, cold, wet winter until the spring festivals come. Those ordained festivals, you know, we've looked at in the three sermons, the Feast of Trumpets, the Feast of Atonement, and the Feast of Booths, all of which were in the seventh month. And now it's winter. And it would be easy to lose focus on God during this time when there is no worship festival actually prescribed. So as far as walking in Yeshua's footprints, it might seem like the road is usually muddy and full of ruts because of the winter rains. Our dedication to the journey might begin to wane with all the muddy steps. If we were to follow Jesus in his time, we would find ourselves following him to the temple, even though the fall sacrifices have been completed. Maybe God didn't ordain any festival time during the winter period because he was being merciful to the Jews so they wouldn't have to travel to Jerusalem in a time when the winter rains made traveling difficult. But we follow Jesus to the temple anyway, because as it turns out, he's going there at the time of this Feast of Dedication. This is a traditional historical celebration when Jews remember one of the times when God protected and provided for his people. The Feast of Dedication, or Hanukkah, or the Feast of Lights, is a time when they remember another of God's miracles. And as I mentioned before, the only place it's mentioned in all of Scripture is John 10, which I read in our gospel reading, and all it says there is at the time of the Feast of Dedication. You would think, you know, you would go to the Old Testament to look for a Jewish feast, but this one wasn't commanded. John 10, 22 and 23, then came the Feast of Dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was in the temple area walking in Solomon's colonnade. This covered patio type of area of the temple was a good place to gather during the rainy season. And it was there that Jesus taught on the occasion of this feast. The events that this festival commemorates occurred during the intertestamental time or period, the 400 years or so between the writing of Malachi, the last prophet in the Old Testament, and the birth of Yeshua, or Jesus. They tell the story of a military occupation that are recorded in the books of 1 and 2 Maccabees. In 167 BC, Israel was occupied by the Syrians. The Syrians wanted to bring Greek culture to the region. The Greek culture recognized many gods. And the king of Syria, who controlled Israel, considered himself to be one of those gods. His name was Antiochus, but he called himself Antiochus Epiphanes, which means Antiochus, the manifestation of God. Of course, this angered the Jewish people who believe in one God. And the Jews angered the ruler who believed himself to be a god. So Antiochus began to oppress the people by placing statues of himself in the towns and throughout the countryside, then forcing the people to bow down to his likeness. He even placed an idol in the temple itself and had a pig sacrificed on the altar to make the altar and the whole temple area unclean so the people couldn't worship there. But one of the priests of the temple, Mattathias, fought back. He fled to the hills of Judea to organize resistance to Antiochus. His son Judah, a born leader, brought many men to the hills to fight. Judah was nicknamed Maccabee, which means hammer, because the people began to see Judah as the hammer of God. In fact, many of the people would follow Judah, believing him to be God's promised Messiah. So the warfare began. The apocryphal books of the Maccabees record the numbers and types of warriors each side had in this battle. Judah's troops were outnumbered by the Syrians and were poorly armed. Yet they assaulted the huge, well-trained, well-armed Syrian army. And that army was trained in the style of Alexander the Great. They even had elephants that they would get drunk and then stampede through the Jewish troops. But the Syrians lacked the most important asset in this battle. They were no match for the one true God whom they rejected. Miraculously, the Jews defeated the Syrians. They won their land back and once again could worship as they desired. But the temple had been defiled. So the people began the process of cleaning up and rededicating the temple. With the temple cleaned, the altar consecrated, the lampstand back in place, and the curtains hung, the dedication had begun. That's the name of this feast, the Feast of Dedication. Now here, tradition takes over from the recorded history. This is not in even the Maccabees, the books of Maccabees. Tradition says that after the war, there was only enough oil found to light the lampstand for one day. It would take several days to prepare more oil according to the prescribed procedures. But God worked yet another miracle, according to tradition. The small amount of oil that was found, enough for only one day, burned for 8 days, long enough to prepare more oil. And the light was a symbol of God's presence sustaining his people. Now let's join Jesus back at his time at the temple almost 200 years later, at the time when the Jews are celebrating this festival, to remember the victory that God had given or allowed during the Maccabean revolt. The temple is still standing, the lampstand still burns, but it seems to burn only through the benevolence of another foreign conqueror. Now the Romans control the land. Judah the Maccabee, once hailed by many Jews as God's Messiah, has been dead and buried for generations. And the people are looking for another man to deliver them. So they ask Jesus, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." And of course, in the gospel reading, he said, "I have told you." God's people have longed for and waited for the Messiah for a millennium. But, they had their own conception of the Messiah. They would follow him who promises them victory. The problem is they failed to recognize the real enemy over whom victory would be given. mistakenly, they equated deliverance with physical deliverance from a human enemy. But that deliverance would only be temporary. There would always be more conquerors to come. God desired that his people be delivered from the enemy forever. But that enemy is the devil. And he can't be destroyed through politics or warfare. He can only be destroyed through an act of service, a particular act of service. Humility and sacrifice are the weapons God used to bring deliverance from the devil. Only one Messiah gives victory over this enemy, and only one Messiah promises eternal life. Those who follow him will be delivered eternally. Now, guided by God's word, the light of God's word, a truth can be seen in this tradition of the Jews. Service is emphasized in this feast of dedication. A new lampstand with 9 branches, the menorah, has grown from the tradition of Hanukkah. 8 branches commemorate the miracle of the long burning oil, the one small amount that burned for 8 days. But the 9th branch is a mystery. Shamus means servant, so the 9th candle is called the Shamus or servant candle, and it's used to light the other candles. A message that's not in Hanukkah is that the servant Christ brings his light into the world. The message of the Hanukkah menorah does connect service and light, but it doesn't connect them to Yeshua or Jesus. Now, if we have any non-Christian Jewish friends, we might share with them that the teachings of light and service in the Hanukkah festival are actually realized in Yeshua, and only in Yeshua. Jesus teaches that if we put our faith in him, he will bring us light, the light of eternal life. Earlier in John 10, Jesus had compared himself to a shepherd and his followers as sheep. But a shepherd is not a conqueror like Judas Maccabeus. He's a servant. He leads his sheep, feeds them, he teaches them. If an enemy comes into the sheep pen, the shepherd will sacrifice his own life for the sake of the sheep. It takes a humble man to serve sheep, because sheep often don't even recognize the protection that they're receiving. They do know the shepherd's voice. It's a voice they follow, and it's a voice that leads them to safety. Now, if we can go back to Jesus again in Jerusalem at the time of the Feast of Dedication, our gospel text tells us that this is when the people ask him to declare himself. Jesus does declare himself. He's the one for whom they've waited. His miracles and his teaching attest to his authority. But like Judah the Hammer, or Judah the Maccabee, who many thought was the Messiah, Jesus will die also. Jesus will die on the cross for his people's freedom from sin. He will die to give them and us new life. On that feast day, in Jesus' time, when he proclaimed that he was the Messiah, Judah the Hammer had been dead and buried for generations, and the Jews had lost hope. Then Jesus died too. But unlike Judah the Hammer, Jesus did not remain in the tomb. During that period, he went and preached to the spirits in hell to declare his victory over death and all evil forces, and then he rose from the dead. no false Messiah has done that. There are times in our lives when we are painfully aware of the attacks of the devil. At the Feast of Dedication, Jews remember the attacks of the Syrians and the victory of the Maccabees over them. The light in the temple was seen as God's presence protecting his people. As Christians, God's Holy Spirit has come to live in us, making us into temples for God's glory. When those temples are attacked and the enemy seems to be on the verge of conquering us, we have the light of the servant Yeshua to remind us of his victory over the devil. And that victory was made ours at baptism. With the promises of baptism, which are forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation, Yeshua rededicates us to the Father for grateful and fruitful service. And thanks be to God. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.